again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus. It's a Victory Wednesday as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. What a beautiful day in October. We still have a few days left, apparently. Not many, but it's still like 70 and sunny and beautiful out here in the Windy City. As we take the glorious monstrosity, I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, the Podfather, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother? Bulls win. Bulls win.
I don't know that we need to go with the big Bulls win chant. What was that like? Who was the announcer who did that?
Chuck Swirsky. Chuck Swirsky. Bulls win. Bulls. He always does. Yeah, everybody does that, right?
Well, there was one the super famous one when Jordan hit the shot. And the guy screamed, "Bulls win! Bulls win!" I forget who the answer was back then. That was TV guys, a little different. Anyway, I don't know that a preseason win warrants that, especially given that we kind of lost the game when all the starters and important players were playing for both teams. But yeah, there were some good things to see, and one of them was that there was basketball. So that's great.
Yeah, let's celebrate that. I mean, it's still a win, and I think there are some absolute positive things to be excited about after last night's game, mainly relating to the back end of the roster and our recent draft pick in Mata Bucelas, who I thought played exceptional. And, before we started this podcast, I was kind of making the case, hey, he needs to spend some time, with the G League. And, in retrospect, that looks a little ridiculous after that game. I know it's only one preseason game. I know he's still going to struggle. I know there's going to be long periods of time where he's not going to make any shots. But that said, he's kind of shown enough to me that he has a heartbeat and a desire to dominate. And he's got a lot of the moxie that is a prerequisite for a superstar. Not saying he's going to get there. He's still got a lot of work to do, but he's a good athlete. Like, he needs to be in rotation. Like, I don't want to see anything, down in Windy City. What say you?
Yeah, I think that is fair. The way I put it is, watching him in summer league, I thought he was going to be pretty far away. And watching him in a preseason game against NBA players with NBA players, he looks a lot closer. And the reason for that is, well, in summer league, a lot of the skills he had, like ball handling or shot creation or whatever, required this like big, full kind of package. And like the foundational pieces are maybe there, but the whole package isn't there. And so you couldn't quite execute all of this. You weren't getting really efficient offense. But seeing him with other players that are trying to play a team game instead of an individual game, he didn't look out of place. He didn't look like he didn't belong. He didn't look like the speed of the game was bothersome for him. He was like really aggressive when he wasn't the primary ball handler, but just was ball handling off of like an advantage or, just in brief spurts, it looked even stronger. And so as a tertiary player, he looked like he really fit in very well. I know you're going to hate this, but I'm going to use Denny Advia as kind of like a comparison of a guy who's like, maybe couldn't shoot right away, but
who's average,
but plays the game really well and can do a lot of things, can defend. And I thought that's what I saw out of Modest. I mean, he just looked like he could do a lot of things. The offense looks like it's still going to take a while, but like pretty much everything else looked pretty good, and the aggression looked outstanding.
Yeah, aggression's the key word. Like, he has zero fear. When he's out in the court, it's clear he's like, I don't care. I'm going after it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no hesitation. There's no standstill. There's no passiveness. The guy's like ready to mix it up, which I love to see from a 19-year-old. So there's reason for legitimate hope just on that alone.
Oh, yeah.
This guy
yeah.
gets a jump shot. And he's very, one part I think I undersold him on, I will state this, is he's a lot better athlete than I've been kind of giving him credit for. Like, I think he's a very good athlete. He's in with a team that I think is starving a little bit for like skilled athletes. They have LaVine, obviously. They have Kobe White's a good athlete. Patrick Williams, allegedly. But you know what I mean? Like, you got Vooch, you got Giddy. You got a lot of guys on the roster that are just bleh. And he's definitely not bleh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I would say, would you say he's a better athlete than Patrick Williams?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would say
it's a no-brainer.
Yes.
It's not even close. Yeah. I mean, one, the fact that he tries.
I think it's close.
Really helps.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Williams might be the most overrated athlete ever to play for the Bulls in terms of his athleticism. Like, he can't jump off 1 foot. Like, he's like a slow jumper. Like, in the NBA, I don't know, like, what kind of trait would be, you know, like you'd say, like, this guy's an elite athlete, but he's a slow jumper and needs to load up on 2 feet. Like, I don't know. Maybe he could play with strength, good, but he doesn't. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But and then
I think he's a good athlete. I think he's a good athlete who's got a lot of size. However, he plays smaller than his size.
He's a very mediocre. Best way I should state it. Very. I mean, he's a decent athlete, but he's like not this huge plus at it. I don't know. I think Modest is just clearly.
He's got one play
way more.
Athletic. When you think about Williams' career, I can think of like one play. It was that block? I think it was against the Suns. Like I can honestly think of 5 years. Like one play, what really stands out that was, wow. I mean, the guy never does an alley-oop dunk. He never does. I mean, really? Like, he you know what I mean, Doug? Like, think about it.
I know what you mean. I just said he's a mediocre athlete, not a good athlete. Okay. You're the one who's now agreeing with me.
What stands out?
Like, he's been in the league 4 years. I mean, he's a shooter. He's a role player. Play that you're like, wow, what a great athletic play.
I will add that up, too. Not only on his athleticism, his defense is, to me, so freaking overrated. Like, I highlighted it yesterday. His off-ball defense sucks. It's not even average. It sucks. And for a guy who's that big, who everybody claims is such an uber above average defender, what play can you point to with a great like off ball block or steal? The guy does nothing. Yeah. He's a massive nothing. And that contract, as I stated when it happened, is a complete joke. The guy looks exactly like he has for 5 years. Like, I don't understand why we're constantly like, well, it's breaking out. Even last December, 14-4-1, you're celebrating that. Give me a freaking break, man. I'm so tired of it. But, you know, that said, I do want to get your thoughts. Like, I tweeted at the end of the game, like, Buzelis is pushing for that guy's job. Let's say this continues, like, throughout camp, just like it did last year. Look at Craig outplayed Williams last year in camp. Still handed the position, still started the year. What happens if Buzelis continues to outplay him? What say you?
I mean, he should start. That's what should happen. I mean, I don't know. Like, we talked about this, I think, a little bit after Summer League. And I think maybe we both just said, like, man, Buzelis is gonna kick Pat's ass all practice. Yeah, like he just moves around all the time, and he's aggressive. And Pat's not. I just think he's gonna kick Pat's ass all practice, all day long. And I think that probably happened with Derek Jones Jr. and Javonte Green, but like the org was just committed to those guys. But the org is not going to be more committed to Pat than Buzelis, right? Like Buzelis is a high prospect for them. Like, they want him to get minutes. They want him to play. So I think, like, where they maybe would look at Derek Jones Jr. and they weren't really invested in him panning out, and they weren't invested in Javonte Green panning out because of those guys' age and contracts and whatever, they are heavily invested in Buzelis panning out. And so I think if Buzelis, like, just beating up Pat, like, I think he could play. Now, it's a long way to go on his offense. You know, one thing is, even though Pat, it doesn't move around a lot. I agree with some of your takes of him as a defender. The one thing I'll say is a very good man defender, but he's an awful, awful off-ball defender. But he's a really good man defender, and the Bulls need that desperately. And he shoots threes. Yes. So, like, he does two things that they really need a lot of, and I'm not sure that Buzelis will do either of those things as well as Patrick Williams. Like, I think Buzelis is probably a better off-ball defender. He's probably a better transition player. He's more heady. He's going to do a lot of things better than Pat, but he's not going to shoot threes better than Pat, and he's not going to be a better man defender than Pat right out the gates. Though he did look awfully good in a couple plays against Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. So, really nice start, but his offense still seems pretty far away. So we'll see what happens, but I'm excited. I think maybe to the overarching point, he looks like a rotation player to me. He looks much better in a 5-on-5 setting with real NBA players than he did in the G League or in the Summer League, where people are really playing for themselves and not trying to do a team game. I think he's going to fit in really seamlessly with this team.
Yeah, great point. Yeah, that's a great counter. And, you know, I think I'm, phrase go, victim of the moment. You know, it's one preseason game. Patrick Williams played awful, you know, but he is absolutely, as a course of the season, I can guarantee he'll finish the year with a better three-point percentage. And I feel pretty confident he's going to be a better man-on-man defender, and those are two needs for his team. Point of attack defense is I don't know how else to say it. Like, that first quarter, Doug, you know, I watched it this morning. I know we'll get into some of the issues with watching the game, period. But, I mean, that defense in the first quarter was an abomination. I think this team has the capability of being the worst defensive team, at least the starters, in the history of the Bulls organization. It was that bad. They have nobody to protect the rim. Vucevic is 34 years old. He's done. It's clear he's too slow to guard anyone in the NBA. And that's the guy you got, you know, to save, you know, Giddy, who's an abomination as a perimeter defender, and he's always been that way. He's going to be hunted so bad this year. And you know, Kobe's not a great defender. Zach's not a great defender. Patrick Williams is your only above average defender. I almost feel like you got to figure out a way to get Io in the lineup, who is clearly, I thought, had an excellent game yesterday. 2 for 4 from three, had a couple key steals that led to baskets in the first quarter. He was the only guy they put on, you know, that they had that could provide any type of answer for, you know, your best players on the perimeter who are smaller guards. What say you?
Yeah, I'm gonna steal this from the Cash Considerations podcast. They were talking, would you start Io over Josh Giddey? And, yes. You know, initially I was thinking, like, would you start him over Kobe? You know, but you know what? Screw it. No. Start him over Giddey. And I think, like, I'd rather split up Kobe and Zach. But, you know, for a team that maybe wants to lose games anyway and probably doesn't want to pay Giddey a truckload of money, like, what incentive do you have to play Giddey 30 minutes, let him compile a bunch of counting stats, and then have to pay him way more money in a season where you want to lose anyway? Like, not a lot. So bring Giddey off the bench. Say, look, this dude's outplaying you, because I think he is. I mean, I think Io is better than Giddey, like, flat out, straight out. I think Io is a better player. And so, yeah, I think it's fine to start him. I think that'd be tough because, you know, Giddey asked to be traded because he didn't want to come off the bench. But, yeah, well, then shoot the ball or play defense.
You know, yeah, did you enjoy his air ball three?
It was fantastic.
That? I
knew you were, like, so excited about, like, every time he missed a three, like, low-key, just like, yes, I'm just going to love talking about this.
That is true.
I think it's completely true. You know, like, you texted me a bunch of bad, like, Giddey defensive plays. Like, I noticed you didn't send the one where, like, Io and Kobe, like, ran into each other trying to switch a screen, like the Keystone Cops. But you did send me all the ones with Josh Giddey in them. So I could tell, like, it was a really balanced effort in terms of how you were gauging the defense.
Well, are you gonna try to argue that we're actually four abominable plays from those defenders? I agree, Kobe's not an elite defender, but listen, Doug. I mean.
No, Giddey's a really bad defender.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
I through one preseason game, I'm going to say these two things as caveats, okay? For Patrick Williams and Giddey, since we're trashing both of those guys a little bit, right? Patrick Williams, I mean, he's just recovering now. He missed the entire offseason. You know, in his official weigh-in, I think he gained like 15, 20 pounds, and it sure as heck wasn't muscle, you know, from not being able to work out. So he's got to play his way into shape. And, you know, he hasn't got the chance to do that. He's not gotten a chance to work on his game. And, you know, that's going to lead to a really slow start for him. You know, regardless of where you think he can go and what strengths and weaknesses you think he has when he's, like, kind of fully healthy and as dialed in as he's going to be, we're not going to see that version of him for a couple months. So we're going to have to be a little patient there. Like, and I don't expect, like, great things, but I think he can be a 3-and-D player with, you know, the caveat being that he has to be on ball as the defender and not off ball. And then with Josh Giddey, he ruptured an ankle in the Olympics, which just came out on media day. Like, somehow this wasn't news before that, or no one heard it. And, you know, so he was really limited, and, you know, he was questionable going into the game. And so, you know, like, he looked really, really slow, lead footed. And that's definitely, you know, matches some priors we have on how we view Josh Giddey. But, you know, he's also recovering from something and probably isn't at his absolute best yet either. And then some of those plays, like, there's one where clearly there was supposed to be a switch and it got confused. And they weren't sure if they were going to switch. And, like, the whole defense looked very out of sorts every time they tried to switch, like, who was supposed to go where. And so that also probably makes sense in preseason at this point in time where guys are playing with new guys. So I think, like, some of these things, like, Giddey's defense is definitely a real issue. I'm not trying to undersell it. But, you know, there's some things to say this can be better than it was today. You know, some things like Vooch being, he just looked so bad in terms of his defense, so bad. Like, he could not move a foot. Like, there was a play, I can't remember if it was you who was telling me this or if I highlighted it, I put it on Twitter, but it was like
Mobley.
Mobley goes around him and you're like, did he even move a foot? Like, Mobley took like six steps and you're like, I don't know if Vooch moved one step to get in the way. So, you know, like, that's going to be an issue. There's a lot of things there that we're going to have to see how they can be worked around, but it's going to be tough. You're completely right about the defense of the starting unit as it exists today.
Yeah, that's a great point, Doug. In fairness to Josh, in fairness to Patrick, they are coming off of injuries. So That's a really good point that I really hadn't thought about before. You know, I fired off all these angry tweets this morning. But, you know, also, though, I do have to say a lot of these problems happened in Q1. You know, so I understand you're coming off injury. I just saw last night what I witnessed in that first quarter was some of the worst perimeter defense I've ever seen. And to me, like, the effort was unacceptable. It's not just just the mechanics and the fundamentals of defense. It was the effort. And, you know, I could tell you honestly, as someone who's coached, like, youth teams, a player, if I would have seen that type of effort, they would have been benched. I don't care if it's, you know, your backyard, the driveway, your parents' house, like, wherever, whatever level of basketball. Even if it's preseason, you're still sending a message every time you go out on the court. It just wasn't acceptable. And I think that effort is exceptionally important, very important for Giddey, because he's not athletically gifted. And you have to give that minimum level of effort to just, you know, provide some sort of resistance on defense. It's absolutely crucial. So that said, we'll get over it. It was a bad day. I'm more angry at the org. This is such a delicate tap dance to make this work with this kid. And you're the guy you put on the front court to back him up, to protect the rim, is Vooch, who's no longer capable of moving his feet at an NBA level at 34. So, and that happens to the best of us. He's a great guy, but he's done. And he signed for another two full seasons. Like, oh, all I got to say is this team, everyone's worried, like, we're going to be better than 25 games. There's no way. Not with this defense. This is a 25 win team at the max. It will be a miracle. I can't even imagine what Billy Donovan's going through after watching the film on that first half. Like, this is a abomination of a defensive team. And there's no way we're going to win 25 games.
They cut to him at one point in the first quarter, and he just looked like he wanted to throw himself off a cliff. Like, watching it now, it's like, yep, that's about how I feel, Billy. You know, I'm gonna say, like, I don't feel as negative as you. There were some good things out there. Like, they played fast. They got a lot of threes up. Didn't make a lot of threes by guys you think could hit those threes. I liked what Jalen Smith did a lot. His reputation as a defender, and I thought he was a little better than
that. A lot is strong.
So that looked positive to me, and I have some hope there that he'll give us some quality minutes. He was 0-for-4 from three, but, you know, based on last year, I think we're hoping he'll be a better shooter this year. Granted, he doesn't have this long history of being a good shooter, but we're going to hope that's the case. So I thought that was good. You know, I agree with you in terms of it'd be great if we had designed the roster differently. And, you know, I think with Vooch, they certainly tried to move him and just couldn't, because no one wants him for the same reasons we don't want him. I would say the problem with the org, and this is partially why we have Josh Giddey today, is because they just get whoever they feel the most talented player they can get is, and they don't care about the fit, and they don't care about getting guys that, like, fit into easy to play with other player type of traits, right? Like, DeMar DeRozan, great player, hard to fit in with other players. You know, Nikola Vucevic, you could maybe even say in his prime when we got him, was sort of similar, right? Like, he was still a terrible defender. It's hard to have a terrible defensive center. And he is like an average efficiency offensive jack of all trades kind of guy. That's not necessarily an easy guy to plug into a winning situation either, where you typically want defense from your center. And so they've got this history of just trying to, like, well, chase talent without considering how it can fit or play with other talent whatsoever. And you can maybe have one of those guys on your team if they're good enough, especially if you build around them, but you can't, like, chase lots of guys like that. And Giddey is another guy like that. Like, I guarantee, I said, who's the most talented youngish player we can get for Alex Caruso? And it was Josh Giddey by the mile. But the problem with Josh Giddey is he's got a lot of flaws that make him a really special person to try to build around. And then weren't committed to doing any of the other steps to do that because we didn't have the assets to do it. And now we're in this, like, weird situation where we've got no one who can defend and we don't have enough shooters, you know, and it's just like, how are you going to make this work? And the end result is probably just what you said. We're not. We're going to be terrible.
I disagree a little bit about Smith. You know, he played good. I mean, don't get me wrong. He had 17 minutes. He had put up a double-double. I mean, you got to pat him on the back for that, but the whole issue you signed him, it was to be as a stretch three, stretch five. He went 0-for-4 from three, and this, again, just goes right into the issue with this front office. They're looking too many at, yeah, but
small sample size. Like, I mean, are you saying after preseason game, I will say Smith can
shoot? The outlier of his career has been last year.
Well, he's years, Fred. It's not like he's been in the league. Like Vooch was in the league for a decade.
Yeah, but Smith was in the league 4 years, and he had one good season to shoot sure. three. So, like, I'm just saying, is it possible that that's an outlier Absolutely. Year? Like, you got to, you know, so that's my concern here. It's the same issue with Vooch, right? It's similar to Vooch. You're saying, I agree with what you're saying. Like, Vooch had a longer history of playing, but he also had a massive, he shot that 40% on six.
When we traded for him, that was like two-thirds of the season for that he did that. Like, not even a full season. He didn't even have a full season as a good shooter where we traded.
Regardless, he probably had more attempts up to that yeah. point than Smith did last
sure.
year. They're both probably had the same amount of shots put up at an acceptable percentage. And then he goes 0 for 4. Like, I would not be surprised at all. Number one, he's no longer with Halliburton. Number two, and if you looked at a lot of his three-pointers, that big surprise, they were coming at the end of a Halliburton pass right to his chest. I think he's going to go down. I don't think he's going to hit 40%. I'd be shocked if he does. How far he goes down, is it 35, 36, 37? Like, that's why he was brought here. He needs to be a stretch five. We have no front court player outside of Williams that can hit three yeah. at a consistent basis.
I agree with you. I don't comment about that on one preseason game. Instead, I would just say
fair enough.
Smith really had a fantastic game, just 0 for 4 from 3. And if he shot, 1 for 4 from 3 or 2 for 4 from 3, shoots like, say, 38% from 3 on the season and does all the other things he did in this game, I'd be really happy with what he's doing. We got to see if that happens or not. And to your point, like he did not shoot a whole lot of threes. I mean, he's a limited player. He only had 144 attempts last year when he shot 42% because he wasn't a major minute player. So, yeah, there's some risk there. But, I liked what I saw. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Like, I'm going to hope that he shoots decently. If you think of, like, Vooch had open threes all season long last year, right? So, like, our offense has been able to get open threes for the center position, regardless of whether it's Halliburton or Kobe or whoever passing to him. We've been able to generate open threes. So I don't think the fact that it's Halliburton versus Kobe White versus Josh Giddey is going to make a difference if he's open. So we just got to hope he can knock him down and that last year wasn't just a complete fluke. And, it could be. Again, small sample size. I think you correctly point that out. But also a guy who's not played in the league a lot. So it's not like small sample size after 10 years of never doing this. So we'll see. Like young players, you hope they're just improving and getting better. And yeah, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, Vooch was 0 for 2 from 3, Giddey 0 for 3, and Dalen Terry 0 for 1. That's exactly what I expect. More of that all year. So it's fine. We need to keep that pick. So I'm okay with this being a disaster. But like this is what you should expect. Like I don't expect the team to be, in a league that demands good three-point shooting, to have a competitive team. We don't have it again. Yet again. In fact, not only do we not have it, we sent away our best three-point shooter for a guy who can't shoot. So it's fine. We know where we're going. This is a rebuild. It's fine. But I thought Io did have a very good game. I thought Phillips played well. He's another guy that we should call out. I thought played very well in limited minutes. Yeah. 25 minutes, 5'8".
Dalen Terry played well, too.
Plus 20 in 25 minutes. So he played Dalen really Terry well.
Like maybe not showing up in the box score in the same way, but I thought Dalen Terry really made a difference with his
He was a plus 15.
So at the half, they swapped out, I think it was Patrick Williams and Zach LaVine for Julian Phillips and Dalen Terry. And I think the Cavs, I want to say, still had all their starters in. I'm not 100% sure. And that was when the Bulls made the run. And Dalen Terry's defense was a big part of that. So, I thought that was a positive. I've been definitely on the Dalen Terry hating bandwagon. But I thought he looked like really solid as a defender out there.
I've always felt that way about
him. In the past, I thought he's just like a little spastic. Like he's like one of those guys who can be disruptive, but then he also like gambles and then like gives open, like wide open plays a lot of times too. And I thought he looked a lot more in control defensively than he has in the past.
Yeah. I did want to highlight one point though. Like I thought Giddey was terrible, but his counting stats, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. He only played 21 minutes. Like if he plays 30 minutes, 33 minutes, his counting stats are going to look really nice. And so that's the catch 22.
15, 10, and 6, right?
What I predicted, 18, 8, and 8. you know, something like that, 18-8-6 or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. I would say this about Giddey, like the ball moved way better out there than it did last year. And so I think as guys get used to that and Zach and Kobe, you know, shoot better, I think there's some upside that Giddey can help your offense quite a bit.
Kobe didn't shoot that bad yesterday.
Ball moving.
Kobe was 7 to 15. No, three, he, 7 from 3.
He didn't shoot well with Giddey in, if I recall correctly. Like he I want to say he started like 1 of 4 or something, but then he hit like 2 or 3 in a row. Like his end numbers were pretty good. I want to say, was it 3 of 7?
He was 3 of 7, which is fine.
Yeah, and he was the best shooter. The only non-bad shooter, really, if I recall correctly. So, yeah, he did a nice job. But, like, I think Giddey moving the ball is going to add a little bit more. Like, you don't. It's hard to say because it doesn't directly lead to something all the time. But I think the offense is going to look smoother with Giddey out there. So, I do think there's, like, some upside there. But, you know, it's going to be tough if it's Giddey and, you know, like, Vooch, neither of them can shoot. And what are you going to do when Giddey's not on the ball? You know, he's got to make some of those shots. And, yeah, maybe he will. But, like, airballing that – I don't know if it was the first one he airballed. I think that was the second or third one, but like that's not a good look. So, you know, clearly that wasn't going well, and that's a problem that the Thunder face right now. Now it's our problem. So we'll have to see how these pieces mesh together.
I did want to get just your prediction on the win total for the season. Like, where do you feel? Let's put it down right now after one preseason game. I want to give it right now before we go any further. Are you comfortable giving it now, or do you feel like you need to witness a few more of these preseason games?
I think predictions are useless anyway, so I don't care.
But they're very useful for me because they're usually right, and I'm going to start documenting it. And plus,
do we want to go through the 10 things you predicted in your 10 commandments style last year? Was it 7 things, like of which all of them were wrong, I believe, except one.
No. Kobe White was right, and
that was the correct one.
That's the only one I remember.
The correct one, and the rest of them. Well, the Bulls were going to win the play-in tournament, which did not happen. It was not particularly close to happening.
It was close.
I forget the other ones, but it was mostly. I think we were going to finish better than the Knicks.
That was a bad one.
And the Knicks were going to miss the playoffs or like something.
Yeah,
like
that was dumb.
So
I'm wrong 7% of the time.
Anyway,
Anyway,
I don't put a lot of value. So you can put value in predictions. I don't put a lot of value in the predictions because there's so many unpredictable things that happen over the course of the season. You don't know who's going to stay healthy, who's going to get hurt, what trades are going to be made. And those things all like kind of impact the outcome. I would say looking at this team, I think Vegas has an over-under at 27.5. And I think I'm going to take the over on that, though everyone else I know is saying the under. So I think I'm in a small camp there, but I would predict them at 28 was my thought before seeing the over or under, so I'm slightly over on the Vegas line.
Okay. So you're going to say over. I'm going to say under. I think Vegas does have it at 27.5. I thought that was a number. I'm going to go under. So you're over.
Yeah,
I'm under.
That's what I was saying.
I think they're going to win 25. I think it's going to be a very ugly year.
And if they're like in the ballpark, right, of, you know, like it's easy to see at the end of the year if they're just like, oh, yeah, let's just now play all of our young players and, you know, like – if they go into sort of tanking strategy for, you know, lottery balls, then that could lower the number. So I think they're like a 28 win caliber team. And it's not hard for me to see a scenario where they start trying to lose games, you know, quote unquote, at the end of the year to get better pick odds, you know, which neither of us, I think, would be sad about, right? Like if we're not going to make the playoffs, I think we'd both rather have as many lottery balls as possible than win like 34 games and miss the playoffs. We'd rather win 24 games and miss the playoffs if we're going to win.
Until next time, as we bring the big red bus in, let's go Bulls.
Hey, go Bulls.
All right, my man. Take it easy, brother.